For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sauce mocking Daniel Jones. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, it's time for a Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, for today's Cinco, I'm going to give you the top five most memorable moments from this homestand, this Mets homestand. All right, Evan? You ready?
Here we go!
Number five.
Number five is the Hawk Tour Girl throwing out the first pitch.
We're still doing the Hawk Tour Girl thing.
Don't you dare. I love the Hawk Tour Girl, the female loogie, of course.
Hawk Tour Loogie!
I stand with Hawk Tour. And by the way, what are the Hawk Tour Mets? 3-3? So everybody that wanted to get on her, they blew the game. They came back, and now they're in spitting distance of the... Oh, okay, I tried to do that joke. I couldn't even get through it. I was going to throw an OMG in there. It was going to be laced with innuendos. So hopefully Andy Martino's not listening. But I love Octua. And for all the prudes and the curmudgeons that had an issue with it, go scratch. Have a little fun.
All right, let's get to number four.
All right.
Number four.
Oh, the response after being mocked by what's-his-face, that goon on the A's?
Austin Adams.
After he mocked them, remember, the next game, the Bats responded 9-1. I love that because any other team, you might have said, oh, see, the Mets, whenever they let them do it, they let them do it. No, they didn't. They responded with 9 wins after being mocked. So I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Seve's complete game on Saturday. I believe you were in the building, Evan?
I was not.
Okay. Now, maybe they were a little over the top when the game ended. It wasn't like it was a perfect game, but still, a complete game. It's rare these days. And the building, we had a caller earlier that said there isn't the juice in the building. Citi Field was electric after that.
No, it was. And I'll defend them celebrating. Complete games are special. They're so unique. And I think that it's also special for a guy like Luis Severino. I mean, think about how far he's come. Last year on this radio station, we were talking about how you couldn't pitch him. I keep thinking of Big Mac screaming in the overnight, you can't pitch him anymore. You can't pitch this poor guy. I feel bad for him. You can't pitch him. And so for him to have had the year he's had, which is a very solid year, and to have that kind of dominant effort, no problem with it. I thought it was badass. I thought it was cool. Unfortunately, I was not in the building for it.
All right.
Number two.
All right. Number two on the five most memorable moments from this Mets homestand, Francisco Alvarez, 3-0 pitch. Carlos Mendoza giving him the green light. Now, Francisco missed home plate. But he did remember that he missed it. He went back, walked it, and then obviously the Mets walked
that
it
that could
off.
Have been a Merkel's boner situation. Always a good time for me to mention Merkel's boner.
Hold on a second.
We got to talk about Merkel's boner.
I can't talk about Hawk 2 with a female loogie, but you could talk about Merkel and the boner?
That's literally the name of the game. Like, you could Google it right now. In fact, I know Loogie's doing amazing work. He's producing his own Cinco de Fivo, so it's very, very impressive.
It's a little tough.
But when you get a chance, Google Merkel's boner. It's not like I'm making something up.
He was a baseball player, right?
Fred Merkel played for the New York baseball Giants, and he missed touching home. And it was because fans ran on the field. It was a whole controversy. They had to replay the game. So imagine Francisco Alvarez never touches home plate. The Orioles file a protest. And we could have had an Alvarez boner situation. Luckily, we did not.
Number one.
I'll let that one sit out there and marinate if you're sitting in traffic. All right, number one. Now, honestly, the Alvarez boner would have been number one in most situations, but Jesse Winker, our hero. Now, everything about that celebration after the walk-off today is everything we hated about Jesse Winker.
I know.
I mean, he celebrated like his wife just gave birth with triplets. I mean, he basically did everything but, like you said, not take his clothes off. I mean, he threw his thing there, his helmet down, the bat down. He had a big, the wacky tobacco in the mouth.
I love it, man. I love it, and I'm not just saying it because the Mets won. When you win a game-winning home run, it doesn't matter if you're the Mets, you're the Reds, it doesn't matter. You should celebrate. It's like being a kid again. And certainly for all of us, we were celebrating. So it was good to see Jesse Winker, who has haunted us for so long, finally have that moment. Because he's really been a singles hitter since he's gotten here. He hasn't shown us that power yet. So I totally agree that's the number one moment because it was the most important. The difference between a 5-4 homestand and a 4-5 homestand. The difference between losing 2 out of 3 and winning 2 out of 3. The difference between, hey, with a little bit of help, the Mets are 1.5 games out of a playoff spot versus potentially falling 3.5 games out. So I agree with you. Number one, Winker's home run. And by the way, Merkel's boner refers to the notorious base-running mistake committed by rookie Fred Merkel of the New York Giants in a game against the Chicago Cubs on September 23, 1908. Merkel's failure to advance to second base on what should have been a game-winning hit led instead to a forced play at second base and a tie game. They then had to play a makeup game. So it wasn't him touching home. There was a game-winning hit. He never got to second base. The crowd stormed the field. And I think the Cubs, I think Tinker Evers or Chance, one of them, I'm not even kidding you, ran to touch the bag. I think we should celebrate Merkel's boner with like a holiday every September 23rd. It's one of the most famous moments in New York baseball history.
I'm a 3.5-inch guy.
Stop it. Why should we just forget about it? Because it was a long time ago.
No, because this is why.
Like, that's not fair.
No, because then if you want to have a day in New York where we celebrate Merkel's boner.
Yeah.
The same people that were mad that you had explained to the children about the hot tour girl, we're going to have to explain Merkel's boner?
I just told you what it was. He missed second base. It was a mistake.
But then you're going to have to explain something that could be uncomfortable for the kid. Don't do it on camp day, by the way, Steve Cohen, please. Don't make sure there's no children there when we celebrate Merkel's boner day.
Nothing dirty happened.
I didn't say there was.
Fred Merkel made a mistake. That's the name of the play.
There was nothing dirty about someone throwing out a first pitch either for a good cause. But yet everybody was up in arms. And you, Evan, want to be a bad person here and create more, Phil Mushnick articles.
No, I want to honor New York baseball history. I think we have some of the greatest history, and what I really don't like, it's why I'm wearing an Abe Lincoln shirt. Oh, we shouldn't forget history.
No, because you're a dork.
Maybe I am a dork. We can't forget history. Just because something happened a long time ago doesn't mean it didn't happen. That always drives me nuts.
Well, hold on a second there, Mr. Historian.
Yeah.
Show me the shirt you're wearing right now if you're not watching on SNY. Yeah. Honest Abe is wearing glasses. Honest Abe had great vision.
Yeah.
So you're not honoring history. It's basically mocking the great Abe Lincoln.
You think I'm mocking Abe
Lincoln? He looks like a hippie. He didn't wear glasses like that. That's not Jerry Garcia. He actually looks more like Jerry Garcia.
First of all, how do you know what Abe Lincoln wore or didn't wear 100-some-odd million years ago?
Aren't you the big historian on Abe Lincoln?
He had a high-pitched voice. No. So what else do you want to know?
Is there any proof that Abe Lincoln wore glasses?
It's art, dude. It's just a picture honoring Abe Lincoln. Who cares if he's wearing glasses or not?
No, it's almost satire of Abe Lincoln.
Satirizes Abe Lincoln.
I mean, you are. You're wearing a shirt of him wearing hippie glasses.
Should see the shirt I'm going to wear tomorrow. I got another political shirt I'm wearing tomorrow.
You told me that, and I family program.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so you love Ike, right?
A big Ike fan.
Okay, who was his running mate?
Richard Nixon.
Okay, what was Richard's name?
Richard Milhouse
Nixon?
What's
another name for Richard?
Tricky Dick.
Okay.
I mean, okay, what?
Okay, so hopefully it says Richard and Ike on it, and there's not any sort of nicknames on it. Because again, family program, SNY is going to be very mad.
I honor history, and I happen to be fans of Dwight Eisenhower and a little bit of Richard Nixon. You know what Dwight Eisenhower did to Richard Nixon? I love Ike, but I can't believe he did this. First of all, Dwight Eisenhower's grandson married Richard Nixon's daughter.
Is that right?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
No. Who knows that? Nobody knows that stuff.
Nobody knows that stuff.
No one would know that but you.
Isn't that crazy? So Richard Nixon was running for president as the sitting vice president. Very similar situation. Not very similar, but somewhat similar situation. And Ike was asked at a presidential press conference, can you tell us, one of Richard Nixon's biggest accomplishments as vice president? And Ike said, can I get back to you on that?
That is good.
Well, he wasn't trying to rip him. He didn't have an answer. And some say that and other reasons is why Richard Nixon lost to Jack Kennedy back in 1960.
He's not a crook. By the way, we have the Sauce Gardner audio that you...
Let us take a listen. So Sauce Gardner and, of course, the Jets took part in a joint practice with the New York Giants. Now, I've seen some highlights. I've seen some reviews. Apparently, Deontay Banks had a rough day. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers had some dimes. Apparently, Garrett Wilson showed off his greatness. Tyron Smith looked very good protecting Aaron Rodgers. So there's a lot of positives for the Jets. I'm sure there were positives for the Giants as well. But Sauce Gardner was asked his opinion on Daniel Jones.
What was your opinion or takeaway on Daniel Jones?
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rip. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandale. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it. The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. Like, I had fun out there today, you know. I don't really know what to say. Like,
that's why I said the Eisenhower story. Dwight Eisenhower was asked a question he didn't see coming, and he didn't have a good answer. So he said, I'll get back to you. Now, he could have done the same thing Sauce did and was like, I don't know what Richard did well. I barely looked at him. I have no idea. So here's Sauce Gardner, just expecting, like, hey, how was joint practice? Everything good, all that. And he's asked, what do you think of Daniel Jones? And he didn't have an answer because he didn't want to tell you the truth. Because the truth is he thinks he sucks. That's the truth. Like, Dwight Eisenhower's truth was, you think I listen to anything that guy said? I'm a freaking war hero. You think I give a rat's ass what that dweeb Richard Nixon was telling me? That was Ike's honest answer, but he didn't want to give it because he liked Richard Nixon. Was he going to throw him under the bus? Sauce Gardner doesn't want to hate on Daniel Jones. So when he's asked, what'd you think of Daniel Jones? Poor Sauce was in a tough spot. He's in a tricky spot. So what do? You don't say anything because what did Mama teach you? If you got nothing nice to say, don't say it. And so I think Giant fan Sauce Gardner told you everything you need to hear.
Yep. I've been telling you to start Tommy DeVito in week one. Sauce Gardner obviously agrees with me.
No, he does. He wasn't asked what did Tommy DeVito look like.
Bro, he talked about everything but the weather. That's like when you get in an awkward conversation. You always know when you're in an awkward conversation because you bring up the weather.
No,
but a dead giveaway.
Look,
he was talking about anything but Jones.
I understand, but keep this in mind. And I totally respect where you are on the Tommy DeVito thing. Just because he thinks Daniel Jones is bad doesn't mean that's endorsing the third-string quarterback to start. You're just trying to win your argument.
Forget that
you and Tiki had
Forget
and
bad.
Sean had a week ago.
Forget bad. He couldn't give you anything. Saying he has a nice smile, something? He was like, I don't know. He got put in a position that we've all been put in throughout our lives when our wives look at us and go, honey, does this make me look fat? And he's sitting there stumbling and fumbling, and he couldn't give you an honest answer. Nothing.
Because he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, but has he been in the league for a couple years?
Yes.
Do they have a PR team?
Yes.
Do they teach him how to answer questions?
They don't
care. So why didn't he go to PR mode and go, well, he's a great competitor,
because
he's really tough, he's out there, blah, blah, blah.
You know
why?
He
didn't even give a stock Derek Jeter answer.
Because he wasn't asked about Zach Wilson last year. He was asked about a competitor who, by the way, they're not even going to face this season in the regular season.
But he wasn't prepared to be asked about the opposing quarterback he's playing?
No,
I'm not getting on Sauce here, but like, why wasn't he prepped to be like, hey, they might ask you about Daniel Jones, come up with something.
Jets PR?
I'm not ripping Jets
PR. Should have told
what
Sauce
I'm saying,
Gardner, be prepared for an answer
no,
on
but
Daniel
what I'm,
Jones.
No, but yes, you're facing him in a joint practice. Salah was asked about Malik Nabers. You're probably going to be asked. You have Giant beat reporters there. You have Jet beat reporters there. You have guys that cover both teams. I mean, he gave you nothing there. And dead silence, actually worse. I think that's worse than saying he's the sucks.
Well, I disagree with when you say he gave you nothing. He gave everything. He told his opinion. He thinks the guy stinks. And he wants to be a nice guy about it. That's really what it comes down to. That's how I took that answer. And I think what made it worse, I got to blame you guys, you reporters out there. Save him. He doesn't have an answer. Ask him another question. like you're asked, what do you think of Daniel Jones? He's like, I got nothing. Then he talks about, I almost intercepted him. Then he's like trying to go back to the answer. Connor, just say, all right, Sauce, let's move on. What'd you think of Malik Capers? Instead, I'm just kidding, Connor. I think he did the right thing. Let him just twist in the wind for 45 seconds. I mean, that was awkward. But I think that just shows you that. It shows you two things. And I do want to compliment the Jets more than I rip the Giants on this. You know what I think it also shows you? Sauce Gardner is ranking Daniel Jones on the scale of what he sees in practice. And what he sees in practice is Aaron bleeping Rodgers. He is seeing the best in practice. And so when you're witnessing a Hall of Famer, and I know he's got a lot to prove, he's 41 years old off a torn Achilles, I get all of that. I think Sauce Gardner's brain is kind of comparing anything he sees to what he's facing in practice. And what he's facing in practice is Aaron Rodgers. One other thing, this is about Robert Saleh, and I don't understand. Robert Saleh was asked before this year in practice, do you think Aaron Rodgers will play, or will you play Aaron Rodgers in the preseason game on Saturday night against the New York Giants? Obviously, this is an opinion we all have. We all have an opinion. Yes, play him, don't play him. Rodgers has talked about how joint practices are basically replacements for preseason games. And Robert Saleh gave us one of those, I've already decided, but I'm not telling you. Well, why? Why can't you tell us? What about the season ticket holders? What about me, Coach Saleh? What about me? I'm taking my family on a Saturday night to MetLife Stadium. And by the way, I'm going either way. Okay? Most of us schmucks are going either way. You can't give us a heads up so I can at least tell my kids, hey, we're going to see Aaron Rodgers. Like, why you got to be so selfish? There's no competitive edge to this. You don't have to. There's no like, oh, I can't tell the Giants that Aaron Rodgers is playing. So if he has said something post-game or post-practice, let me know. But prior to the practice, he gave me the whole, I'm not telling you. Tell me, Coach. Please tell me.
I haven't seen anything on Saleh. By the way, going back to Sauce Gardner, he has tweeted something out in the last 10 minutes. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is from Sauce Gardner on Twitter 11 minutes ago. I said, and then he does quotes, he's a good quarterback. I just got a little distracted with something mid-interview, laughing, crying emoji, chill with like seven L's. Got distracted? What, did Brian Costello show a little leg? What were you distracted with during this? Come on, you were just at Jet Camp. What is so distracting?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that can be distracting.
Evan, he had 48 seconds to gather his thoughts, say something relatively nice about Daniel Jones. This poor guy has had to sit there and watch Hard Knocks where his own team wants to get rid of him. Now they do a joint practice, and Sauce Gardner can't come up with three nice superlatory words to say about Daniel Jones.
You don't think he got distracted?
I think he realizes that this clip went viral. Sauce is very plugged in on social media.
Sure, sure.
And now he's like, damn, I got to say something here. Because it's bad. It makes Daniel Jones look really bad.
I understand. I'm just trying. I like to take people at face value. Before I say Sauce is BSing us, do you think it's possible?
He's BSing, I think, in a nice way.
Okay, fine. I'm not saying Sauce should go to prison or anything like that. I love the guy. He's actually my favorite Jet. I got Breece Hall's jersey just because I wanted to have fun with Tiki. But Sauce is my favorite Jet. I bought Spencer Sauce Gardner jersey. He's my guy.
No, he's great.
Big fan of Sauce. He's a good dude. He's great. Okay. We got that out of the way. You don't think it's possible he was distracted?
I think we got to talk to Kaz or somebody that was there and say, was there anything distracting going on during
maybe
this answer?
Maybe somebody walked by that he saw, that he knew, or maybe he didn't know. And he's like, whoa.
It's possible.
I have no idea.
Absolutely.
Maybe there were constant bugs and that distracted him. Bugs can be very, very distracting. I have no idea. Maybe Brian Daboll walked by.
Maybe the Met game was on and he was watching Jesse Winker hit a walk-off.
On the table, right?
Or maybe, just maybe, Daniel Jones stinks and he couldn't come up with it. And he probably, somebody said, hey, Sauce, maybe tweet something out to be nice. Because it's bad. Like I said, we played the clip. It's just, it's rough.
It's bad for you. It ain't bad for anyone that's a Jet fan.
But I think
they find it funny.
I think a lot of Giant fans understand that. Now, you want to say the DeVito thing, whatever, that's fine. But, like, I think most Giant fans, if they're being honest with themselves, and the Giants themselves, and I agreed with you, Evan, the thing you said the other day, the Giants literally filmed themselves saying they wanted to get rid of this quarterback.
Yes.
So what are we really talking about here? A guy that's going to be gone in a year, a backup somewhere else. So, yes, it's a weird, awkward answer, but Daniel Jones is done here.
Well, he is done here.
So it's a weird season.
Absolutely a weird season. I think that Daniel Jones is very, very average. I'm sure Sauce Gardner agrees with that. I think his opinion on his practice was probably he's a bland, blah, whatever quarterback.
The kids use the word mid.
He's a mid-core. Okay, fine. That's what he is. And I think Sauce Gardner had trouble, you know, using the right words. But that's why I brought up the Eisenhower-Nixon comparison.
Because back to this.
It all comes together. Dwight didn't have an answer. So he said, I don't know. I'll get back to you. Meanwhile, Dwight never got back to us. Like, we actually never heard from him to explain what Richard Nixon did well as vice president. Now, we know what happened when he was president, but that's a story for another day. Yankees are a win away from retaking first place in the American League East. Nestor Cortez will be on the mound today against Joey Cantillo. BT will be broadcasting the game with Justin Shackle right here on this radio station, so you're definitely going to want to take a listen to that. Mets are now getting set to go out west. No off day. So after they beat the Orioles today on a walk-off home run by Jesse Winker, they go right out west. They get set for a four-game series in San Diego against the Padres. Then they do get an off day. Do they have an off day Monday or an off day Thursday? Either way, they play three in Arizona and then three in Chicago on Labor Day weekend. They begin a very, very important stretch, a stretch that could sink them. Let's be perfectly honest. Their second West Coast trip in just a couple of weeks. They are off Monday after they play the four games in San Diego. We'll get your calls in a few minutes, 888-808-1019, including the Anthony Volpe test. I keep hearing he'll be fine. What does he'll be fine actually mean? But let's get to some of your calls, including Kendrick, who's calling from Suffern. How you doing, Kendrick?
Evan, I'm good. You know, yesterday I went to the open practice over at Forum Park with my son.
Nice.
Rogers. Yeah, no, it was a great time. Rogers and Mosley had the day off, which was kind of a bummer, but understood given today's practice.
Sure.
And when I was talking to some of the guys there, I had a revelation here I was thinking about with the Jets. Going into this season, Zach Wilson had been a problem for the past couple of years, but is Tyrod Taylor the best quarterback the Jets have had outside of Aaron Rodgers in the past decade? And and a quick point on Lindor.
Yes.
You guys are talking about MVP conversations and whatnot. I think Lindor is very similar, and I'm sure this has been made a point earlier or at some point from Tommy, to Jalen Brunson, in that he might not be the best in the world, but he is going to be the best in the gym or on the field that night. And what I mean is, he's not Aaron Judge, he's not Shohei Ohtani, he's not going to be the MVP this year, mm-hmm. but any given night or day on the baseball field, in Citi Field, or if they're going to Petco, wherever they go, he could be the best player on the field, and it doesn't matter who's on the other side. And that's why he should be in the MVP conversation, and like you said, that's why he is our MVP. So it's very similar to the Jalen Brunson, like, you can't say he's one of the best in the world, but you can't say he's not, because every time you turn on the TV, he's got the best stats, and he's got his team winning.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, yeah, I mean, they're about to play the San Diego Padres. So let's use that as an example. And baseball's so different than basketball, but we'll use it as an example. When they play San Diego over the weekend, is he the best player on the field? Is he better than Manny Machado? This season he is. Like, sure. I mean, Lindor's had a better year than Manny Machado. Is he better than Jurickson Profar? Yeah, even though Profar's had a great year. Tatis Jr.'s hurt, so sure, I guess he's the best player in the series against the San Diego Padres. When they play the Arizona Diamondbacks, is he the best player in the series? Is he better than Corbin Carroll? I guess, yeah, sure. I don't think it means as much. Maybe that's the thing. Like, I get the attempt at a comparison. I think it means as much. Like, having the best player on the field, ask Yankee fans, ask Angel fans back in the day. It doesn't mean anything. I think in basketball, there's more of a meaning that, hey, we got the best player on the floor, and that almost makes you believe you can win any series or win any game. I think that Francisco Lindor is finally being appreciated by Met fans. Let's start with the basic stuff. I think when a guy comes over here with huge expectations, with a huge resume, they come over with the baggage of expectations. And most guys, to a T, have a bad first year. To a T. The only one who jumps out at me, who did not have a bad year when they came over with the baggage of expectations, is Juan Soto. Only guy.
You could argue from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Juan Soto's having one of the best years of his career. But whether it's Jason Giambi, whether it's Carlos Beltran, whether it's Alex Rodriguez, you name the guy. They come over here, and to varying degrees, they don't have a great season. And Lindor had that. And then he had to deal with the baggage of expectations. And obviously, the team had some failures. They collapsed at the end of 2021. They sort of collapsed at the end of 2022. They have a dreadful season in 2023. And I think when Lindor was having that bad April, there were a lot of Met fans getting on him again. Saying, ah, this guy stinks. He's this. He's that. He's there. He's their biggest problem. And I think what Lindor has done with this season, for now, because I don't know if you can ever permanently get the critics off of your back in this city, he has finally gotten Met fans to believe in him. He's finally gotten Met fans to appreciate him. He's finally gotten Met fans to trust him. And I think that's the kind of the greatest accomplishment that he's had in 2024, which is how many years here now? 21, 22, 23? His fourth year here. I think he's finally gotten the Met fan to trust him. Because if you watch this team every day, these guys getting on base 2-3 times a game. He's an extra base hit machine recently. Like, even when he wasn't getting extra base hits, he was getting on base every single night. He's mostly played near flawless defense at shortstop, for the most part. So, he's had a great, great season. The Brunson thing, you know, I guess what turns me off about that comparison is when Lindor came here, he came with the baggage of expectations. Brunson was the exact opposite. He came here with, he's all right. Yeah, he's okay.
It would be typical Knicks, one would say.
Some would
say
that.
That type of signing never ends. Also,
it was the complete opposite in terms of expectations, but in terms of their value, yeah, both guys have been great. Lindor this season has had his best year as a Met.
But this is par for the course. Let's just say the Mets. Their best player oftentimes is often criticized and not loved. Remember Piazza, remember Beltran, remember Wright, remember Reyes.
Sure.
Most of the fans, Jake. All of our best players, we basically vilify, and then when they're gone, like, we're seeing probably a Hall of Famer here, and we, like, basically can't stand the guy. Now everyone's coming around a little bit, but this is, like, all the great Met players we've had in our lifetime.
And Yankee players, too. It's a New York thing. I mean, that's what we do. We're tough on great players.
Right, yeah. Like, you and I both loved Edgardo Alfonso. I think that was our favorite player during
loved
that era.
Loved Fonzie, yes.
And I love Fonzie, but he wasn't the best player, but we just love Fonzie, and we would be more critical of Piazza, or more critical of David Wright, and we liked another guy more.
It comes back to that same term I use, the baggage of expectations. Sometimes you come with expectations that are just not realistic. And I think with Lindor specifically, and even Beltran too, because he was coming off of this historic playoff run with the Houston Astros a year earlier, you come here and people expect you to be perfect. He hasn't been perfect. He's been their best player, though. There is no debate about that. I mean, it's far and away Lindor's been their best player, and he's been their most valuable player. And I don't think there's any doubt about that. And he deserves a lot of credit for maintaining the Mets in this pennant race. Now, here's the truth, though. Here's the hard reality. And Aaron Judge sort of has the same kind of cloud hanging over him. If Francisco Lindor has a bad September in the middle of a pennant race, Met fans will turn on him. Aaron Judge got booed in October after having a historical season. And it's kind of the underlying issue around Aaron Judge. Yes, he's a great player. Yes, he's the MVP easily this season, in my opinion. Yes, he has a legitimate shot at the Triple Crown. Yes, he's the greatest player we've seen in the non-steroid stratosphere. Whatever platitude you want to throw at him, he better hit in October. Because if he doesn't hit in October, the baggage of his expectations will come crashing down on him. He was 1-for-16 in the ALCS against the Houston Astros. 1-for-16. God forbid that happens again. Because if it does, fair or not. I'm not trying to tell you it's fair. It's just the reality. It's the baggage of expectations. You're going to face criticism. You're going to face heavy, 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 heavy criticism. And it's very similar to Lindor in this regard. The Mets are in a pennant race. If Lindor no-shows September, has a September like April, right? And I'm hoping that's not the case. But imagine if Lindor has a September like April, what will be said about him? He could wipe this season out.
Well, yeah, like you said, there are people that I think are legitimately turned and love Lindor now, and then there's like people that still hate the guy, but they can't scream from a mountaintop that they hate him when he's doing so great. They're waiting in the shadows, they're waiting in the wings, and if Lindor stumbles, they will now come out
now,
with the pitchforks. That's how it works.
I will tell you what I would do if he had a bad September, and it cost the Mets. I'd be mad at his teammates. I'll never forget this. Can I apologize. Can I give you a Nets analogy? Is that okay? Is that all right?
Quickly, please.
Okay. 2007. So it was a long time ago. It was before they were in Brooklyn. They were playing a game six against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they were down on elimination. They were down 3-2. And Jason Kidd had this amazing third quarter. Like, amazing. Got the Nets within one. All right? They're back in the game. And I say to whoever was sitting next to me, I don't even remember who it was, now it's on Vince Carter. You're the star of this team. Now it's on you. Jay Kidd brought you back. Seal the deal. Vince Carter had a terrible fourth quarter. Danielle Marshall hit a bunch of threes. The Nets lost game six to Cleveland. And I remember being so angry at Vince Carter because I said, this guy brought you here. Wasn't mad at Jason Kidd, by the way, who had a bad fourth quarter. I was mad at Vince Carter. So if the Mets, who have been brought here by Francisco Lindor, can't seal the deal, my eyes will turn to, let's just say hypothetically, Pete Alonso and say, now it's your turn, bro. It's your turn to be that guy.
So now that I'm thinking about it here, I think if Lindor has and he won't, obviously positive Tommy, he'll have a great end of the season, but let's just say he does. I think Alonso will get all the hate because I think all the Lindor hate has now shifted to Pete.
Contract, I think, is the reason.
Hiring Scott Boras. Yeah. I think that was a dumb move, and I think the fans turned on him once he did that.
Let's go to Joe in Cranford. What's up, Joe?
You guys have me like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. You played that clip of Sauce Gardner. They ask him what he thinks of Jones. The first thing he says is, I think he's a good quarterback. And then he gets distracted. You guys, I mean, you said it, you repeated it, that he said that, but for some reason, you still choose to say he doesn't think he's a good quarterback and he had no answer. I don't get it.
Because that's the vibe, not just me, and a lot of people got by listening to that clip, because he went without an answer and couldn't kind of, elaborate.
As soon as the question was done, he said he's a good quarterback.
So you took that answer and said, there's no story here. He said he's a good quarterback. What the hell's the problem?
Exactly.
Okay.
After that, he was clearly distracted, like he said.
That's not what he said right away. He said, meaning he's thinking.
Joe, let's be fair to you, and let's be fair to the audience who may just be tuning in. Let us take a listen. So this is we played this about 38 minutes ago, and you can rewind to hear our instant reaction here on WFAN. Here is Sauce Gardner being asked specifically, what did you think of Daniel Jones's performance? And you guys tell us how you take this.
What was your opinion or takeaway on Daniel Jones?
He's a good quarterback. You feel me? I thought I was about to pick him off today. I had a little cloud rep. You know, he had looked at the last minute to try to throw the check down to Wandell. You know, I thought I had to pick, but he kept it. The competitive periods, it was very competitive, man. It was great. I had fun out there today, you know. I don't really know what to say.
I'm sorry, Joe. I disagree with you. I know he said he's good, but he also went, he's good. Then was like, I got nothing. Then went on to something else. And then tried to answer, I guess, elaborate. It does come across like he thinks Daniel Jones thinks.
Yeah, because Amanda brings up a good point. He said he's a good quarterback, and then he went, oh, damn, he's really not a good quarterback, and I can't explain my answer.
Oh, you think that's what he did?
Remember that school when they asked you to explain your answer, show your work? He couldn't show his work.
Well,
he couldn't say why.
He did that, but then he took it a step further and went to expand on it, and then he realized he had nothing else to say.
That's what made it bad.
And went,
yeah, if he stopped it at, I think he's a good quarterback.
Yes.
And then
perfect answer.
That's it. Then you move on. I don't think it's a story. But Sauce thought it was a story because he had to go on social media and say, hey, guys, I don't mean anything by this. I got distracted.
So based on Sauce's tweet, now that we re-listened to it, Sauce's tweet is accurate. He did say Daniel Jones was a good quarterback. And then in Sauce's tweet, he said he got distracted. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? But it certainly seems like he said he was a good quarterback, and then he started thinking of, well, how is he a good quarterback? He's not really a good quarterback. So he started talking about the weather or whatever, and then at the end he goes, I don't know really what to say.
Yeah, that... I take it as he doesn't think he's any good. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a bad guy. We just all listen to the clip at the same time. But here's the beautiful thing. You report, we decide. Wait, no, wait, I got it backwards.
Fair and balanced.
We report, you decide. Like, that's the audio clip. If you didn't think he meant anything by it, okay, that's fine. You don't have to. You don't have to think anything.
Now, it's also a visual thing, too, if you want to go on Twitter, SNY Giants.
I haven't seen the visual. What's the visual of it?
I mean, that, I'm saying that's how you could decide whether he's distracted or not if he's looking around. Does that make sense? Like,
you could kind of
look at the video as well. Because
have
he says
you seen the video of it?
I have. I don't think he... Look, I don't think he was distracted. I think he just couldn't come up with anything to say after the good quarterback part. That's why he was bringing up other things.
But so the leaning around and, like, the... like, he's leaning his body left and right as if he's trying to make a decision on what to say. And, like, all the bad ideas are popping up right in front of him.
I agree. Like, he's like, oh, don't say that. Don't say that. Maybe I could say that. Ooh, that
like
might be bad.
He's basically dodging the bad answers. He's like, like, that's no, funny. It was bad.
that's good. Let's go to Steve and Brick. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, how you doing, Ev? Love you guys. Love you and Joe. I'm a Joe contemporary. I'm 64 years old.
All right.
I saw 86. I saw 73. I saw 69. I saw Namath win the Super Bowl. Here you go. You want to talk about a Met who was brought in with big-time expectation and delivered? Gary Carter. Better be the next number going up in the rafters.
Yeah.
It
sucks that they've waited so long. Like, Gary's a Hall of Famer, too. Now, he's a Hall of Famer as an Expo, but nevertheless, a lot of the other numbers that have gone up over the last few years, and I don't mean any ill will when I say this, they're not Hall of Famers, and Gary Carter is. I think that is a great example. Keith Hernandez, too. I mean, yeah, when the Mets went out and acquired those guys, obviously before my time in terms of remembering it or understanding it. In Keith's case, I wasn't even born. In the case of Gary Carter, thank you. I was only a couple of years old. But yeah, they lived up to it. Most guys recently, and I would use the Yankees as an example as well, they do, but it takes a while. It doesn't happen right away. And not to morph this completely into a Yankee conversation, but it is Yankee-related. I think that's a part of why you really need to appreciate the brilliance of Juan Soto. Because Juan Soto did something so unique that Beltran didn't do, that Lindor didn't do, that Giambi didn't do, that a lot of these guys didn't do. Now, Lindor was traded here, final year of a contract, but he immediately signed an extension. So he never played a game without knowing, hey, long term, I'm signed. Juan Soto comes to New York with raised expectations in a contract year, no contract, he doesn't have it right now, and he's putting together, you could argue, the best season of his career. So I think that, and I know this will be determined by October, and this will be determined by if Juan Soto remains a long-term Yankee, but Juan Soto's season this year with the New York Yankees is one of the most impressive things we've seen from a New York athlete in terms of the expectations upon arrival. And going through his numbers, 2020, you kind of have to throw out. Statistically, it is the best year of his career. The most home runs Juan Soto's ever hit in a season is 35, which he's at right now. His highest OPS in a full season, because, again, 2020 was absurd, is 999. He's at 1,034. He's putting together some of the greatest statistical seasons he's ever had. Let's go to Mike in Staten Island. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yo.
So I want to weigh in on Lindor, and then after this, I have a very important question I need to ask Tommy.
Yes.
So in terms of Lindor being in the MVP conversation, he very much is in the conversation, and that's because he's been so great. But the other reason why is that there's no Aaron Judge or Bobby Witt Jr. in the National League. No one's really running away with
Shohei Ohtani. So that,
well, Ohtani is, but he's a DH. I mean, it's tough. It's going to be tough to... give it to him when he only plays one way.
No, I understand that. There's been a history of that, that it's very tough. But when you look at his overall numbers and you look at the fact that he's leading the league in home runs, he's leading the league in OPS, he also is about to have a 40-40 season, maybe a 50-50 season, I would just disagree that about running away with it. I think he is. I think his stats are so far and away amazing that despite him not playing a position, he is running away with it.
He's getting close, but he's not going to put up an 8-WAR season like Bobby Witt Jr. or Aaron Judge. It's
he's not having the year of those guys, by the way. That I would agree with. Those guys are ahead of him, sure.
All right, so, Tommy, I have a question for you, man, because I'm getting married this year. Oh. And when we were, when me and my fiance were setting the date, she wanted October 25th. And now, when she brought this date to me, I had just finished listening to David Stern's plan for the Mets season that they were gonna compete, and they're gonna compete for a playoff spot, but with their goal being for the future. So after I heard that, I kind of said, "All right, Mets aren't gonna be in the World Series this year. We could do October 25th."
Oh my God!
What do you think, Tommy?
What day of the week is this?
It's a Friday.
Oh, okay, so the Mets will be playing a World Series
game. It's
game
one of the World Series. The calendar is already set. Just so everybody knows, the date of this man's wedding, Mike in Staten Island, is October 25th. It's a Friday night. It is scheduled to be game one of the World Series. Positive, Tommy. What should he do?
Well, you got two options. One, you dump her, which I'm not suggesting you do. You can laugh. I'm just joking around.
Dump her.
So you got to figure out a way to get a TV there. So you're locked in.
It's one of the World Series.
Well, the wedding, I assume, is paid for. This isn't like they're looking ahead. So they're already locked into this date. So now it's a matter of, I don't think you can switch out of this stuff without paying a penalty. I don't know. I just got married. We picked a date and we got married on it. Maybe somebody else could speak to this. But to me, you got to be able to, like, get a TV in there. Make it the focal point of the dance floor.
No way. Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's a World Series.
A wedding is a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Not for
and
everybody.
You're ready.
Ask Beningo when he's on with us Mondays this year, football season.
No way.
No, come on.
No,
what I should have asked was, is his wife a Mets fan?
Oh.
They could be diehard Mets fans. They could have met at a Met game. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, so...
That could be a thing, you know?
She's right. Like, it's your wedding.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Mets...
Oh, you are real rich here, my friend.
Am I?
Yeah, M.
Can I tell you the reality? Mike screwed up already. He should never have considered October dates. I don't care how bad you think the Mets are.
But the wife wanted it, though. Did you forget that part?
No, and you convinced her November. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's 1 month in a calendar.
You're right.
There's 11 other months you could choose from.
You're right.
And what I would say is... pick another one.
You're right. You're 100%
right on that. You want September? Fine. I don't love it, but I'll do it. You want November? Again, don't love it, but I do it.
Not a football Sunday.
The one thing I would never do is even open myself up to that possibility. Mike screwed up.
I am now convinced the Mets will be in the World Series. I apologize, Mike. You seem like a cool dude.
Because of Mike?
Yeah. And we're going to hear from Mike. This is going to be the story. And Mike's going to have his wedding. Maybe I'll get invited to it. Actually, I can't show up because we'll have a Met World Series game. But I still think you figure out a way. Now, the good thing about this is, so I was at a wedding for the Grand Single, right? The Grand Slam Single. Mm-hmm. So I actually missed it because this was back in the day. Now you could, your phone. So you just put your little phone out. You're doing the first dance. You're dancing with your mom. Just have the phone the entire time.
Yeah.
Or get the phone attached to a hat or something. You can't miss the game.
I
don't care if it's a wedding.
I think the other option that you have, and tell me if you'd appreciate this one.
All right, man. Let me see.
I'm the groom, okay? I'm the second most important person at that wedding. Obviously, the bride is number one. At the beginning of the wedding, I have a microphone. And I say, I have an announcement to make. I'm going to make this very, very simple. We are DVRing this World Series game.
You're a wacko. You're a whack job.
If you spoil anything about this game, you're gone. No questions asked.
You know what? But that's fair. If you ask your guests to have some etiquette about it, that's fair.
Thank you.
That's fair.
What if it's your future father-in-law spoils the game? That's a tricky spot.
He's gone too. I throw him out.
You are going to throw your future father-in-law out of the wedding that he might have even paid for.
I don't give a rat's ass if he paid for it or not. It's not his day.
No, see, you can't.
It's my day and it's my wife's day. But it's really my wife's day. If we're being honest, it's the bride's day. That's why I put her number one. I get her approval. I'm sure she'll approve that. You're not asking for much. You're just saying, shut up. Don't talk about sports.
We're forgetting the part that, like, these people, hopefully, love each other and know each other very well. Like, if something's important to you, your partner will care about
it. That's right.
If they're the right, if they're
the Amanda, you're not married yet. We're talking to two married guys. It's not always the case, but I just think that.
No. It's the case in my. I mean, you're on your own, bro. My wife knows. Maybe you didn't explain things well when you got married. Like, my wife knew I was sick. For example, goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up next on SNY. When we did our, what's that stuff when you say lovey things to each other before you get married?
Proposal?
Vows?
No, the vows. Thank you. You know the vows?
Yeah.
So we each wrote each other a poem, okay? In my poem, I talk about the Mets.
Oh, my
because
God.
She knew, because she, I should find my vows
yeah,
and read them.
Did you not save your vows?
I have them on my I have them. Ooh. I can't find them within 5 minutes because I would read them to you right now. I just have to look.
You brought up the Mets in your wedding vows.
Absolutely. Yeah, no doubt. No question about it.
No question about it?
And by the way, I'll tell you this. I didn't read my vows. So the way we did it was, yeah, no, it was for her too, by the way.
Interesting.
My sister read my vows and her brother read her vows. True story.
Huh. Why?
Yeah.
The reason? Do you really want to know the reason?
Yes.
I'm going to regret it, but yes, I'd like
to know. I'm
going
to be perfectly
reason.
Honest with you, and it involves her and me. Okay, this would have happened to both of us. We wouldn't have been able to get through it. We would have cried.
This is nauseating, this entire conversation.
Is that nauseating?
We could have ended this conversation 10 minutes ago if you just would have allowed me to put a TV in the middle of the dance floor. That's all you need. Get a projector.
Gotta give him a little, aww.
This guy screwed up by even allowing this.
You expect, I'm assuming he's got at least 100, 150, let's say 200 guests. You expect all of those people to not say anything about a World Series game?
No, I think it's going to be very difficult. I would still do it. My point is, this shouldn't have happened.
Agreed.
Like when you're for anyone who's planning on proposing right now, okay, you have to think about everything before you pick a date. Everything. For her too, by the way. I'm not being selfish. It's a joint decision. Okay? She may think about the weather. That's great. Okay. We'll make sure the weather's nice, or we'll pick a time of year where the weather's likely to be nice. Totally get it. She may be thinking about, you know what? Don't really want it around my birthday. I want to have multiple days. Totally get it. Respect the crap out of it. You think about that. Well, guess what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about the playoffs. I'm thinking about October. I'm thinking about my anniversary falling on a football Sunday.
Now, do you tell her that, or do you find a way? Because you do this all the time.
I told her
you're
that.
You're a big hoodwinker. You told
it's not a hoodwinker.
Yes, it is. Honey, I don't want to get married when you want to because of a football game. No, are you going to be honest, or are you going to try to find a way around it where you say, honey, my mom gets too cold outside in October. Maybe we should try it in September.
You can just be up front.
Thank
you,
Amanda.
It's okay to be up front.
Why does he think we all lie to each other?
I don't know.
Like,
happy wife, happy life.
With your partner. Shock horror.
My wife knew everything. Like, what, you think I lied to her?
It's not a surprise. He's a diehard Mets fan. It's not like, you know, pulling it out of the bag. Like, oh my God.
Thank you. Lugie's like, I had to confuse her with something. No. In fact, I will tell you our wedding date. It's actually coming up, believe it or not.
It's probably in July because you never thought the Nets would be in the finals.
No.
Sorry.
Or June, I should say.
Yeah.
I picked a time together because she had to approve it too and she liked it.
Of course.
She wanted the fall, right? And I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you, hon. Here's the problem with the fall. I'm just going to have an honest conversation. The problem with the fall is you know about football Sundays. And she's like, yeah, you know, part of your job. It's your job. Yeah, which it is, even though I kind of like it too, but part of your job. So I said, you know, the risk we run into, football Sunday, you know, do we really want to risk that? Good point. I said, I got a great compromise. Why don't we pick right before football season? Late August. And that's what we agreed on. And that's why my anniversary is actually in a week, August 29th. I won't be here. Okay. We're going to be having a lot of fun.
Nice.
Going out for dinner, all this crap. August 29th is my anniversary. Our anniversary. Sorry about that, hon. And we picked it because I want you to play a game right now on my end of things because she has her opinions. Can you name me the sporting event that could possibly happen on August 29th that would be a problem? Nothing! Nothing! Nothing can happen on August 29th. What, the Mets are playing a big game against the Padres? Doesn't matter. The Mets played the Red Sox that night, August 29th, 2015. It don't freaking matter.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again?
With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.